Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley. All my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that things are going well with everyone. Happy Valentine's Day to everyone on this very special Valentine's Day of 2021. I know that things are still very tough for a lot of folks, so we just want you to hang in there with us and be smart about things. We must continue to wear our mask. We must continue to socially distance. We must continue to use the hand sanitizer. You know, COVID is still running rampant out there, and we have these variants which are now complicating things at a totally different level. So if you're going to do something special, you know, for that special person in your life on this Valentine's, make sure that you're doing it in a safe manner. I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and put y'all on a little game, a little nice dinner at home, cooked by you as the gentleman of the relationship, some candles, you know, make sure you put the salad in there, you know, a little glass of wine or something like that. We'll go a long way. You don't always have to go out somewhere and just, you know, be amongst the crowd and things of that nature. Sometimes a little privacy is very good. But we certainly want to reach out to those that are still experiencing loss with the coronavirus and say that, you know, we're with you and we're praying for you and your families and everyone during this time. On February the 11th, this past Thursday, we kicked off 2-1-1 Day with United Way, you know, on February the 11th. 2-1-1 is their number that you can call to help receive services and things of that nature. You need help paying your rent. You need help with child care. You need help with daycare. You want to volunteer. You need help with paying a utility bill, buying some food for your family. 2-1-1 is the number to call, and I am truly honored to be the ambassador of the 2-1-1 program this year for United Way. So you'll see all of the campaigns and things going on, but just make sure you tell a neighbor, tell a friend, tell a church member, anybody that may be in need. We do have this great resource in our community in 2-1-1. And of course, this is February, Black History Month, y'all. Black History Month, and we are celebrating all month long. And I told you we will be bringing you some exciting guests, and this Sunday is no exception. And we're going to go ahead and jump right in, because I'm so appreciative of this brother for taking time out of his busy schedule to be with us today. Just to say a few things, you know, I've watched this brother from afar. He's very sharp. He's very intentional with his moves. He's very transparent. He don't try to hide what he's doing. You see where he's coming from and you see where he's going. And I think that's a great thing for us as a community and as a region that's trying to recover from so much. So I am excited to have with me today the chief of police for the Columbus Police Department, Mr. Freddie Blackman. How you doing today, Mr. Blackman?
I'm doing well, Kenny. Thanks for having me here.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to be on here with you. And I promise you, I'm going to be very cordial. I know you're a man of Kappa Alpha Psi, and I'm a brother of Alpha Phi Alpha. But guess what? You and I are still going to have a good conversation, my friend. I promise you that, okay?
That's right. Okay.
You know, my Alpha brothers would have got at me if I didn't jump on you about that. So, you know, I know some of them are listening. I know some of your Kappa brothers are listening. And we're all very, very proud of you. So you are the chief of police for Columbus, Georgia. Now, for a lot of people that live here in this city, Mr. Blackman, this is their first time seeing someone that looks like them serve in that capacity. Talk about the honor it is for you to serve in this capacity for our city.
Well, first let me say this, because I have to do this to recognize, and I realize what you said is the first time that some who live in here, you know, to have seen someone like me in this position, but those who have been here over the course of the year, several years, actually saw with a Dozier in 2000, from 2000 to 2004 as the chief of police. So I must recognize him.
Now, he was the first, correct?
Say it again?
He was the first African-American to serve as police chief, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And so, but as far as me being in this position, I really count it as an honor, and it's a privilege for me to be able to share in this capacity, because it gives me an opportunity to be able to share in the community where I grew up, where I was born here. And so So it gives me an opportunity to be able to share with the many people that are here and be able to be a positive impact on the many lives that I look forward to making contact with as we go forward.
And you know, and I'm glad that you brought that up because Chief Dozier, he was the first African-American chief from 2000 to 2004. That was roughly 16, 17 years ago. And you can imagine, you know, you have babies that were born when he was retiring that's now graduating from high school and some of them in college. You know, I know myself as a 40-year-old young leader here in this city. Around that time period, I was an undergraduate at Albany State University trying to find the next party to do the party hop with the bros, you know. So, so you know, we're putting things in time perspective here, Chief. So, you know, we appreciate you paying homage to the history of this city. I don't want it to get lost either, the significance of your presence, especially during a period in which an entire community of folks feel disenfranchised from a perspective. And let me be clear on that. I have a cousin that's been the sheriff of my county for 20 years, Sheriff Richard Chapman. I helped him run his first election when I was in undergrad, I mean, in high school. You know, I have a cousin who's worked up the ranks in the GBI. I have many relatives that work within the area of law enforcement. And Chief Blackman, when I speak to you and when I look at you and I look in your eyes, I see the same thing that I see in theirs, the same thing I see in Sheriff Countryman. I see gentlemen that are there to protect and serve, that wants to do what's best for our community, and they want to do what's right. So I've always had a tremendous love for law enforcement and what you guys do, because you're most of the time, the overwhelming majority of the time, you're the ones who run into the line of danger to protect all of us when things are going awry. So with that, I do want to say thank you for that, and I want to tell you how much we appreciate your dedication to this profession. But you talked about growing up here in Columbus. What's the biggest difference that you see from Columbus as a you know, young Freddie, young kid running around riding bicycles and, you know, going through school to now you at the point of being the head of the police department? What's the biggest difference that you see?
Well, some of the things that I have noticed quite naturally is I'm much older now and I have greater responsibilities now compared to when I was in school, and some of the activities that are connected between law enforcement and the community, a little bit different now compared to when I was growing up. So what I want to be able to do is to be able to work on developing an even stronger police community relationship. We do have a police community relationship with, and there are some that support law enforcement, and then we know there's a segment that are not as supportive as we would hope they will become. And so we definitely want to be able to get out and engage our community and let them know that we are present to listen to their concerns, and at the same time we're present to communicate from a law enforcement perspective the reason why certain matters are handled in the way that they are handled. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to dialogue. We want to be able to get into the community to share and introduce ourselves from the officers that's riding the beat as well as throughout our command staff. We want to be able to introduce ourselves and let our community know that we're human beings, we are here to support them, and we're here to ensure that we want to let them know that we want to create a culture of trust and be able to develop community relationships even more as we go forward while protecting our citizens as we share each day.
Wow. You just said so much there that I have a great appreciation for. You know, one of the things that moved me here to Columbus, Georgia, was working with Georgia Appleseed Center for Law and Justice. And we embarked upon this study of law enforcement in the community with the emphasis on rebuilding the trust. The final report was called The Beloved Community. And we've consulted cities like Lawrenceville, Georgia, and other metro Atlanta cities on what we produce. And one of the things that we talked about was a coherent and efficient community policing program, which to me, that's what you just really described, and a granular level so that everyone would know exactly what you're talking about. We also had components of transparency in there as well. We had an opportunity to work with people like Frank Thomas, the president of the Chief of Police Association for the state of Georgia, where he was at the time. And people like Dr. Scott, who was the chief of police for Athens Clark County. I don't know if he's still there. And some other great leaders around the state. Randy Robinson even worked with us on that in his role with the FOP. And we brought together the community business leaders, law enforcement leaders from all over the state. And we agreed upon some things that we could do collectively as a community to help rebuild that trust. So it warms my heart to hear you talk about that, because one, Chief, it tells me that you acknowledge that that is something that's lacking somewhat in our community. You can't fix things if you don't acknowledge them first. But this is why we so wanted someone close to the community to be the new chief, because you have to understand that. And it's very clear that your love for this community is there. It's very clear that your love radiates from what's inside of you for what you see needs to happen here in our community. If you don't mind, those of people that may not have had an opportunity to learn about your professional advancements here in Columbus, can you talk about your history with the Columbus Police Department?
Okay, well, I started with the Columbus Police Department in April 1986 as a 20-year-old. When I started the academy, I was actually 20. A couple of weeks after I graduated from the police academy, I turned 21. And from there, I was able to go into my assignments. And my first assignment was to work 911. At that time, police officers and firefighters and EMTs were assigned to work 911. And so I worked there for a period of time. And then I actually was assigned to ride a beat in the patrol division. And so after riding the beat for a while, I was assigned to work in our tactical unit. And today we refer to that as Special Operations Unit. So I worked in our tactical unit for a period of time as a police officer. And then later I was transferred when we implemented the gang task force. So I worked in that unit for a period of time. And so from that experience, and I was promoted to the rank of detective, where I worked in our vice narcotics unit. And so after working there for a period of time, I was promoted to sergeant. And I was promoted to detective in 1991, and I was promoted to sergeant in 1993. Wow. And so I supervised a squad on the streets, officers that rode their particular beats. And so I did that for a period of time, and then I was transferred to go back to our vice and narcotics squad to be a supervisor there, be a sergeant there. And then we merged into the Metro Narcotics Task Force, where I was a sergeant in that unit. And so then we started a juvenile diversion program, which was a first-time offenders program that mentored nonviolent criminal offenses, individuals that committed nonviolent criminal offenses that were primarily from the age of 12 to 16 years of age. So after working there for a period of time, I was then transferred to our training division, and that was in 2006. So I worked in training division, became an instructor, and then in 2007, I was promoted to lieutenant, and I worked as an assistant shift commander in our patrol division. And then in 2010, I then worked in I was assigned to work as a lieutenant in our robbery and homicide unit. And then from robbery and homicide, I was transferred to go back to the training division, where I became our training director. I was a lieutenant over our training division about 3 years until 2013. And then in 2013, I was promoted to captain and became our department's human resource director. And then from there, I was appointed to the rank of major, and I became the person in charge of our Office of Professional Standards, where we investigated officer-involved shooting incidents and to make sure that our accreditation process was continued and accurate, and make sure we take care of any internal affairs related matters. And so I stayed in that unit from 2014 until last year in November 2020, when I was appointed as the interim chief and later confirmed by council to be the next chief of police for the police department.
Wow, I know that was extensive, Chief Black, but I appreciate you for going through that, because I personally wanted all of the listeners to hear your extensive background and the time that you have spent in so many different departments throughout the Columbus Police Department. In addition to that, Chief, I've had the pleasure of hearing former Chief Boren talk about you. And it's like when he speaks about you, it's kind of like he glows a little bit, because he has watched your progression from starting with the force, you know, all the way up. And it made me think of something. And I guess I could ask you this today. When you learned that Chief Boren was retiring and the job was officially posted, what was your thought process about, should I apply, should I not apply? Don't say that it's going to be embarrassing to you, but just share with us a little bit. You know, what was your thought process? Did you think that you had a chance?
Well, of course, first and foremost, it's something that I've received various trainings over the course of the years, you know, under Chief Boren. He was the person that allowed me to work in various capacities, where I was through his promotions. He promoted me to the rank of lieutenant. He promoted me to captain. He appointed me to the rank of major. And he also supported me and recommended that I go to the FBI National Academy to receive executive leadership training. I even going to the chief executive training, as far as a course that's required in order to become a chief in the state of Georgia. So all of that had taken place prior to his retirement. Mm-hmm. And of course, the development that I was able to receive while he was a chief, observing him, was a great, great help for me. So when it became reality that he was retiring, quite naturally, You may feel on one hand that, okay, now is my chance, but at the same time, I want it to be something that I knew it was for me by, you know, I prayerfully approached it and wanted it to be God's divine will.
Yes.
And because I did not want to be in a situation that was not for me. So prayerfully approaching it, that it would be God's divine will for me to get it, and that if it's God's divine will, that I would get it. And so... And that's the approach that I took with it. And so after going through the process and then receiving the offer, you know, quite naturally, I gladly accepted the opportunity to share, because I wanted to be able to share with the employees, the sworn and the civilian employees in our department, as well as with our citizens. Because like I said earlier, you know, I'm from Columbus, and I want to see our city continue to thrive and be a very productive and successful city. And I want to do my part to contribute to that, to ensure that we are one of the best cities in America, throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And we appreciate that. And you know, I tell you, there's a lot of excitement. And let me be careful on how this comes out as well, because, you know, people will hear things and they will instantly assume the opposite about, you know, a former person or a person that's gone. People being excited about you being the new chief of police doesn't necessarily equate to a determined I'm feeling about Chief Bourne and him leaving. So let me be clear on that. But I have to acknowledge that people are very excited to see you as the new chief and to see Brother Countryman, Greg Countryman, coming in as our new sheriff. People are very excited because there are a lot of folks that are truly concerned about some of the things that we see happening in our community, in and about and around our communities. And folks want to help. They want to help. You know, I had a friend that called me the other day. His mother lives near Lake Bottom. I'm not going to say her street. But she lives near a place where there has been two incidents in the last couple weeks where a few weeks, I should say, where someone has lost their lives. And we're not going to go into details on that. I wouldn't dare put you in that position. But for someone like that who neighborhood wants to help the Columbus Police Department get things under control in their area, what should they be doing, Chief Blackman?
Well, they can definitely reach out to our police department. We of course, we operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They can always call 911 and have an officer to come to them to share information. They just want to call directly into the office and be able to share with an officer to provide information. They could call the number to our investigative division at 706-653-3400. There are ways to communicate with us, with our department, through our social media platforms of Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or even through our website. They can reach out and contact our department. And so they can call the Office of the Chief of Police at 706-653-3100. And we'd be glad to share information with the individual and interact with them and receive what they have to communicate to us as we go forward.
So if the neighbors wanted to, let's say, have a socially distanced meeting out in the middle of the street with a representative from your office to express some of their concerns and potentially point things out, is that possible?
Exactly. We have Sergeant Florence. She's leading that unit, and so they can coordinate through her because we have over just about 80 neighborhood watch programs already in place, and definitely we are going to try to increase that number where we are able to get more of our community engaged. But Sergeant Florence can be contacted at 706-653-3150, and we will come to the location and have a meeting, and we'll have members, of course, myself, as well as members of our command staff and other officers, the officer that rides that beat, the supervisor for the officer that ride that particular beat. And we'll go there and listen to the concerns of the citizens, and they'll be able to, you know, bend our ear and let us know what's taking place and make us even more aware of what's going on in that particular area.
Awesome. That's great information to know. And I have certainly, I thank you for sharing those numbers. For those of you that was trying to get pen and paper, let me repeat those numbers for you. 706-653-3100 is the number for the Chief of Police office, and for Sergeant Florence, who works with the neighborhood watch programs, and which you, if you have a community, a neighborhood, and you want to try to get organized, or you just want to have a informal meeting with law enforcement to talk about some of the challenges that you see in your community, you can reach Sergeant Florence at 706-653-3150. Now, I just want to pause here for a second and say the Chief of Police on this conversation with us just expressly said to everyone that we have to work together in order to resolve the issues that we have. He has opened up and provided direct telephone numbers so that the people in your neighborhood can work together to get this done. Law enforcement can't do it on their own. is going to require community effort as well. If we want to be able to sit on our front porch and watch the sun go down without being afraid of bullet flies and everything else, we got to organize somewhat in our own community and help law enforcement resolve the issues that exist. We got to be the own eyes and ears of our own neighborhood. We can take back control of our communities again. We do not have to be subjected to the foolishness that we see in the street. And you have a chief right here on this radio program right now telling you that they want you to reach them. They want you to be involved. They want you to be engaged. That's how we create change. That's how it happens. Chief Blackman, that's why people are so excited. Because it's exactly what you just did. That's important to a lot of folks to hear that, support for the community. And, sir, I know you're a busy man. I'm not going to hold you much longer. I'm going to give you a final minute here to say whatever you want to say to the community. This is your stage. This is your platform. I'm going to let you have it right now. Chief Chief Blackman, go ahead.
Okay, well, first I want to say again, I appreciate you allowing me to have this privilege to share, Teddy. And hopefully this will not be my last opportunity. And I definitely look forward to sharing throughout our community. So I want our community to know that we do want to engage, and we will engage with our community. And we're coming to neighborhoods and have officers to come to the residents that are in the neighborhoods, not just to answer a 911 call, but just to say, hey, I'm Officer Blackman, and this is the beat that I ride, and I just want you to know that I'm here to listen to whatever concerns you may have, and I'll be able to carry those concerns back through my chain of command to get matters addressed. And that's how we will need to work together as we go forward to address the crime and the concerns of our citizens. The crime that's taking place in our community, the concerns of our citizens, we'll work together. And we'll continue to have Columbus to be a great place to live.
All right. Well, Chief Blackman, thank you so much, brother. You know, to us, you are still history. You're certainly Black history here in Columbus. And we wanted to make sure we take this time to spotlight you, but also get some important information out. And I really appreciate you for taking the time to be here today. And I still owe you that lunch, my friend. I haven't forgot about it. We're going to get together soon, okay?
All right.
Take care.
We'll do that.
Yes, sir. All right. Take care. Bye-bye. You've just heard an amazing interview with Chief Freddie Blackman, the new police chief for Columbus Police Department. I'm excited about the work that he's going to be doing, as well as in combination with our new sheriff, Greg Countryman. As we celebrate Black History Month, we must pause to also celebrate the significance, the changes, the glass ceiling shattering, the big differences. As you heard him say, we've had one Black police chief before. It was Chief Dozer from 2000 to 2004, but that was 16, 17 years ago. This is a different Columbus. This is a different time. Different times requires changes and different everythings, as a matter of fact. Different leadership, different approach, different engagement. And so we're excited to see that engagement and excited about Chief Blackman. And again, I want to thank you so much, sir, for joining us. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I hope that you'll be able to join us again very soon. Thank you.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.